Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, Steve Hamm, Connecticut Health IT reporter. Oh,
no, we got him. Oh, good, we're there. Good.
See, just as you said,
he was just playing. Yeah, he was playing sleepy on us.
Yeah, Steve Hamm, IT reporter for Connecticut Health IT reporter, I should say, has been really vigilant on the opioid story. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
I'm doing great. I just realized that my phone was alarm was turned off, so I'm glad we connected just in the nick of time. Sorry about that, guys.
You know what? We do that all the time to each other here.
Yeah,
so
don't worry about
it.
Yeah,
so.
No problem.
Your latest story that was published on the website on Tuesday, talking about prescription opioids targeting Connecticut's most vulnerable citizens. Who would they be?
Well, I mean, I think the it targets everybody. I mean, the terrible thing about this opioid epidemic is that everybody, anybody can become a victim of it. Specifically, when I thought about those terms, the most vulnerable citizens, I was thinking about poor people. And I was thinking about not just poor people. I was thinking about blue-collar people. I was talking about working-class people. Because you look at the pattern of where these prescription opioids came into the state, and it was just like it happened in Appalachia,
right,
in
right,
Pennsylvania,
right.
West Virginia, and Kentucky. And I tell you, I come from a mining town in Pennsylvania, so I take this very personally, right?
Yeah.
So they targeted, late 90s, early 2000s, they targeted these areas of the country where there were a lot of working class people, a lot of manual labor, a lot of injuries where there's pain. There's a lot of pain and recovery. They target it. You see from the pattern in this database that they went, it's like they marched right up the Naugatuck Valley, town after town, these old factory towns where most of the jobs are gone.
Right.
People are hanging on. And so I think of those as vulnerable people. The people, the hardworking folks who put in their 30 years at the factory
and
got an injury, got a back injury, got some kind of chronic injury. And those are the people who got hit. Instead of our country taking care of them and thinking about the kind of contribution they made to America,
right,
instead, they're targeted with this terrible epidemic.
Stephen, what I hear is that, number one, you've got some numbers, which I want to get to in a minute.
Yeah.
But, I hear that it's very difficult to get yourself off opioids. Is it tough?
Well, absolutely. I'm not an expert in this, but I can tell you, I spent 2 hours yesterday with an expert at Yale New Haven Hospital. Yeah, the receptors in the brain that the opioids attack, the brain is actually changed by chemicals.
Wonderful.
And it is extremely difficult to get past the craving. I mean, there's a craving, and then, of course, there's the dependency.
Sure.
The craving is to desire that. It's like you love ice cream, man. You love opioids.
Right.
Like a lot more, right? And then you're punished if you try to go off them. You're punished because you get sick, right?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So there's this strong desire for people to say, oh, we've got to abstain from opioids. That's the tough way. That's the way to do it, blah, blah, blah. Well,
won't work.
Science shows and evidence shows that treatments based on abstention do not work very well. They work less than 10% of the time.
So we know that as cold turkey?
Yeah, that would be cold turkey. And, part of it is, people go into they go to these treatment centers for like 60 or 90 days, and they do cold turkey. It's very difficult. And then they're separate, and they don't do any drugs for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens?
What?
Is often when they come out, they then are back in their milieu.
Exactly.
And they're no longer controlled. And with fentanyl, with the killer fentanyl out there,
God.
What are
if they slip back and they take some fentanyl, Mike just
they're dead. Them. Yes, right. Thank you.
Yeah.
What are the numbers in your article, in your new article, that's mind-boggling is the one where a CVS Pharmacy in Ansonia, and you talked about the problems in the valley, sold $5.4 million pills in a six-year period, which averages out to 272 pills for every woman, man, and child in Ansonia. The fact that you know not everybody's taking it means that people are hooked on this stuff.
Yeah, it means that, because it's not just an episodic thing. Once people start taking it, they keep taking it. And then also what happens is this doesn't even show the full effect because a lot of people might stick to the pills, but the pills are expensive, right?
Right.
What people do is if they really are have the opioid use disorder and they really are hooked. I guess I don't know that word is a great word to use, but
seems to me it's right.
We use it in common parlance. Their options are to switch to heroin.
Oh, good.
Which is much less expensive. And now fentanyl is even less expensive than heroin and 50 times as powerful. So you end up, the pills are the pathway that get people into the much deeper trouble and the trouble where they might die. And, people think, you shoot heroin, you shoot fentanyl. And that's very often the delivery mechanism. But there are, in China, and in other places, and even in America, in like these garage laboratories, they're cooking up pills that look like OxyContin or Vicodin or something like that. And people think, this is something I'm familiar with. I know how to control this, blah, blah, blah. And then sure enough, it's not.
Right.
It's not OxyContin.
Yeah, it's scary. You can read Steve's work and all the members of the Connecticut Health Eye Team, go to c-hit.org, and you'll find Steve's story on there. Always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks for waking up to be with us. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.